Josh Heupel is going to be portrayed as a bad guy for some. Why? Because he has in the past told quarterbacks it would be best for you to go elsewhere. He has told players it would be better for them to go elsewhere. I wouldn't be surprised if he said that to Elijah Herring, Tennessee's linebacker who's decided to go elsewhere. Caleb, does this mean that Josh Heupel is a bad person or he's just doing business?
Josh Heupel is just doing business. Josh Heupel said on a quote last Saturday, quote, at the end of the day, you're trying to make your roster as good as it can be. We're going through that process, having exit meetings with our own players. I think the culture piece is extremely important, in particular at this time of the year, because there's not a lot of time with them before you get to training camp. It's got to be mature guys that you're bringing into your programs.
Can I stop you? One thing that you pointed out to me, exit meetings, those two words.
Exactly.
Can I give you a little bit of insight?
Sure.
So two Januaries ago, not last January, when everybody was waiting to see if Cooper was coming back, right? But two Januaries ago, they had an exit meeting with Cooper just to make sure he was coming back. He technically could have gone to the NFL or he could have retired from football. So they do that with all of these guys. I feel sorry, as Derek does, for Elijah Herring, but I'd rather be in Herring's position because here's the way it used to go. A coach would have you in and say, man, you just have to keep busting it and you're going to get an opportunity. I promise it's going to be there for you, Mr. Caleb Calhoun. You're going to be a factor. But in reality, they just wanted to keep you around because you were a borderline player they might need if somebody better than you got hurt. Now, in some cases, they would tell you just get out of Dodge because you're not good enough to play. But that was rare. Why was that rare? Because it hurt you in recruiting. So it sounds more hardcore. And I hear the message board, Derek, saying you feel sorry for Elijah Herring and his brothers there. And I get that. But I'd rather be treated like a man in this situation than a 17, 18-year-old kid. And that's how they were treated just 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, and also it's up. And you probably know this, Dave, because most of the time coaches honored scholarships no matter what. And there were a lot of players who did not live up to the billing. And if you weren't living up to the billing, even back in the day, you may have entered the transfer portal and set out a year. Or, and I'm sure you know players like this, they decided, you know, I'm just going to give up my NFL career, what I hoped. I'll just accept this free scholarship that I'm getting from the university, stay on the team and graduate with a degree and go and get a job out of that. I'm sure a lot of them made that judgment call back in the day.
The Robert Pieces of the world.
Yes. Although he did play, but yes. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Well, and not every one of those players married one of Philip Fulmer's daughters, but.
Right. That's true. But Joey Matthews, even, I'm sure he accepted. He was a backup quarterback. And he said, I'm going to get my degree, call it a day, and that's fine. And so I think you got to make that judgment call. I think, you know, I would hope to think Josh Heupel maybe encourages them to enter the portal, but won't outright pull their scholarship dependent on certain things. I'll say this.
Well, let me ask. Guys, so you have a problem with pulling us. What if Elijah
Herring? No, I didn't say I have a problem with it. I would just.
Okay, but let me ask you how this conversation would go. If I'm coach Dave, okay? And I say, player Caleb, you're not going to play. You need to go somewhere else. You say, but I've got a girlfriend here, and I've already started the interning, and I'm going to have a great job here. So, no, I'm not going to go. Technically, it's a one-year contract on my end. I can take the scholarship from you. So, if you flat say no, I'm not willing to go, I can still make you go. Should you do that? Should that still be in the toolbox, or should you handle it more diplomatically and consider it just a loss if you can't talk a player into doing it on his own?
No, I think you try to talk a player into doing it on his own, but I think what you do is you maybe make some calls and here's how you can win it. Try to help them find a place where they could play. Elijah Herring, because remember, we watched him against Group of Five competition last year. When he wasn't playing in the SEC, he looked really good at linebacker. It's just once that speed takes it up to another level, he's not good.
Caleb, I love you, and that sounds good. But the bottom line is, once they let's go opposite McAllen Castles. Castles got to Tennessee. He saw the resources. He's like, I'm going to bust it. You go out to UC Irvine, you see the lack of resources. Was it UC Davis. And you're going to be like, oh, man, my career in football is going the wrong direction.
I mean, there's another side totally to it,
tank,
though.
It could tank you, too.
It could, but it depends on the mentality of the player. And maybe you go to a place that's, you know, go to UC Santa Monica. You're on the beach then, you know. And
Pepperdine, does Pepperdine have a football team?
I have no idea. But, like, okay, you can even stay Power 5. Heck, go to Duke. Elijah Herring would actually be good in the ACC because they're not as fast. He would look bad against Clemson, but against the rest of the ACC, he'd be fine. Elijah Herring, Dave, is the type of player, it was just when he played SEC competition, the lack of speed showed. But if you play ACC, I mean, you don't think he'd look good playing against Wake Forest or against Virginia Tech or Virginia, those schools? I think he'd be fine playing against those schools.
Honestly. Okay, so if Herring walked out the door, and I'm going to give you an amount of money that's somewhat accurate for a guy who showed up and played a lot. He walked out the door with $150,000 to $200,000. Does it make you feel any better about just pulling a scholarship?
Yes. I mean, I this is where I was getting at. This is something we warned people about from the start. Player advocates. And I'm going to go on, I'm going to talk about the ESPN people and some of the people that pretended that players were being exploited with scholarships. Dave and I always supported players getting paid. But you can't have your cake and eat it too. The natural outgrowth of NIL and the transfer portal is going to be like, well, now we get to be as cutthroat with you as we are with anybody in this business. People talk about how coaches can leave on a dime. How coaches could leave on a dime back in the day. That part's true. They could also be fired on a dime back in the day. And so you couldn't do that with players. You've opened that door. And the problem with it is most players, the majority of college football players do not generate revenue more valuable than the free scholarship they get to go to college. They just don't.
No, that's true. I mean, that's why the business works. Hypothetical Travis says, if he pays on his tuition on your scenario, Dave, do you then just kick him off? So if he pays his own tuition, no, I'm okay with it. And they had these nowadays. They don't get as much pub, but they've got some of these celebrate preferred walk-ons. They're even more preferred than they used to be because they're getting their, a lot of them are getting their scholarships paid. Why? Because you can just pay anybody. I mean, just not to get off topic, but the next rule that's going to have to be addressed is 85 scholarships, isn't it?
Yeah, that's going to have to absolutely be addressed.
I mean, think about it. If you're the University of Tennessee, you can afford a lot more players than the University of South Florida.
Yeah. What's the point of a scholarship limit? I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you.
I just kind of stumbled onto that, but feel like that's something that we may get into tomorrow. Apex Apparel Group Design. Check out this shirt. It's my TriStar Hats Co. shirt, and it was done by Apex Apparel Group Design. Call Tyler, 865-919-3001, 865-919-3001, or go to orderapexapparel.com. It's right down below, orderapexapparel.com. Mention Off the Hook Sports. Get 15% off your first order. Off the Hook Sports, 15%. Off of your first order. I'll tell you this too about this Josh Heupel cat. He's the new players coach. The new players coach is about, you don't need to be that physical at practice. You don't need to be worried about getting in a fight in practice. And you also don't need to be worried about getting taken care of when it comes to NIL money, because I think Heupel goes to these players. I think he's a player's coach in a lot of different ways, and that helps him.
I think that's a big part of it. And I think Josh Heupel is takes it a little more personal because he's one of the few coaches who was a high profile player at a time when college football was nationalized. There have been a lot of high profile players that were coaches in the past. Okay. But there's a difference if you were a high-profile player in the 60s, Dave, before college football was a national sport, than if you were in the 90s or the 2000s, when it was already generating revenue. So, you know, yes, Johnny Majors and Steve Spurrier were college football superstars. They weren't revenue generators, though, during that era, okay? Josh Heupel was a revenue generator, winning a national title at Oklahoma in 2000. And he didn't see a dime of that. So he probably is a little more sentimental to the philosophy than those coaches who were stars in the 50s, 60s, and 70s were. And yep. I think that's what stands out with Heupel. Dabo Swinney was really the first. This is where Dabo Swinney won a couple of national titles. He was the first coach to, in a principled way, stand in support of his players, even though he's against NIL. But remember, he helped Kelly Bryant land the new transfer at Missouri. He basically called him to his office and he said, look, we're not going to start you. We're going to start Trevor Lawrence. He's better than you. But we will help you find wherever you want to go, and I'll help you land, and I'll make calls. I'll make recommendations for you. And yeah, I think he bought him goodwill.
I don't think he was the first player's coach. I think there were other ones. I think the interesting thing is you used to have a debate between players, coaches, and disciplinarians. I don't think that debate's there anymore. I don't think if you're not a player's coach, I don't think you're going to be successful. Now, Kirby Smart may be the one exception to that rule. We'll see. But yeah. But for the most part, I do believe that you're going to have to be a player's coach.